17 minutes past 7. Now, here's an intriguing argument. Let me quote Professor Richard Dawkins from his book, The God Delusion. Accounts of Jesus' resurrection and ascension are about as well documented as Jack and the Beanstalk. Well, of course, the whole debate stirred up by Professor Dawkins' book and arguments about that have led some to say, well, let's look at the evidence. One of America's most respected philosophers, Professor Gary Habermas, is touring this country this week in the company of Tom Wright, the Bishop of Durham, and he says that the historical evidence for the resurrection, leave aside the question of belief itself, is perhaps stronger than many realize. And he's with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
How strong do you think it is?
Well, I think by historical standards, if you apply normal historical criteria, for example, where early events are better tested than later events, where eyewitnesses are better than non-eyewitnesses, by those standards, I think the resurrection measures up to very strong parameters.
What about the evidence about when the accounts were written, how long had passed between the events described and the recollections, which were put down in different forms?
Now, that's a great question. That's exactly the parameters here. Even if you were to start with the Gospels, which scholars almost unanimously date to 40 to 60 years after Jesus, in terms of ancient historiography, that's a very small difference when, for example, our best-known biography of Alexander the Great is 400 years after Alexander. But my point is to go way back before the Gospels, to go to the Apostle Paul, and virtually all scholars today concede that we can take the message back to 30 A.D., so we're right on top of the events.
We may be on top of them in the sense that if you're dealing with Alexander the Great, it happens 400 years later that people put things down. But because it's so close doesn't mean it's right.
That's correct.
So what convinces you? I mean, do you need physical evidence in order for your belief in these events to be buttressed, or is your belief separate from physical evidence?
No, I'd say my belief is attached to the events. I think that if there's
no... In other
words,
if you couldn't find... Sorry to interrupt, but if you couldn't find physical evidence that convinced you that there was quite a strong case for people having seen what they said they saw, you wouldn't believe what you believed.
I'd have issues. Yes, I would.
Look, if there's someone listening who says, hang on a minute, these stories were written down after the event, they were written by people who wanted to believe certain things, what, as a rational historical analysis, produces the kind of conviction that you've got? What's your answer?
Sure. Well, we can say that these are Christians, and so they have an angle. But there are people who weren't. I mean, the Apostle Paul was trying to do the exact opposite, and his works are not questioned by scholars at all. And we can get his testimony back to the 30s. Well, he's a persecutor who does an about-face. James, the brother of Jesus, from early sources, did not believe his own brother. In fact, the earliest sources, which critical scholars accept, say that James thought his brother was nuts. All of a sudden, they're both on board, they're both believing, they both say Jesus appeared to them. These things have to count in any kind of historical analysis.
So your faith, you say, as a philosopher, is rational?
I hope so, yes. If I couldn't ground it, I would have serious questions, and I would not be able to hold it like I do, yes.
Well, Professor Gary Habermas, thanks very much indeed. I see you're touring the country with the Bishop of Durham on these questions.
Thank you.
The time now, 20 minutes past 7.